and I'm still on the subject of comfort in our sovereign God, His omnipresence. And let me again reiterate that God is everywhere.
Yes, sir.
And God is everywhere with all of mankind, no exceptions.
Exactly.
Wherever any individual is, God is there. And where any individual even is not,
that's right,
God is there.
Amen.
See, God Almighty is present in the deepest, darkest jungle, even where human foot is yet to be set. God is there, and He's controlling, Mac, even the bugs and the gnats and the flies and the frogs. He's there. But in a special way, in a different way, God is with His people.
Yes, sir.
No matter where they are.
Amen.
God was with Lot just as much when Lot refused to turn the angels over to the sexual perverts of Gomorrah. God was with Lot just as much then as He was when Lot lay in that cave.
Yes, sir.
Up on top of that mountain. And you know what Lot did in that cave. But God was there just as much.
Yes, sir.
Just as much. The fact is, we come to this last phrase, and it's one that we don't generally, I would say we don't generally think about so much, that is God being with us and this being God's sovereign purpose and that it is for our good, although it's probably where we feel like we are most of the time. That's in the dark. And that's verse 11 and 12 of Psalm 139, where David said, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me." Now, I think all of us would agree. I hope we would. But when David here talks about the night and the day, he's not simply talking about those periods of time wherein the sun shines or the sun doesn't shine. He's using those to illustrate what we might call the up times and the down times. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And I think, in my own experience, oftentimes my trouble seem a lot harder, louder, and more desperate when night falls. You seem more alone when night falls. Therefore, when David is using this illustration of day and night or light and darkness, not simply for the natural phenomena of light and darkness, but that spiritual reality. He says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee," and that's the whole point. Oftentimes I feel full of darkness. But the darkness can't hide from God. You see, even if I don't know where I'm at, God does.
Amen.
And it does. It's not that God knows where I'm at because He's sitting up there in heaven. God knows where I'm at because He's right there with me.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, God knows where I'm at because God took me there.
Amen.
You said even in a dark spot? Yeah, even in a dark spot. Remember, God Almighty took Peter to set before that fire when Christ was in the house of Caiaphas the high priest.
Yes,
or whichever one it was. You know, Christ, God Almighty, took Peter to that place. And God Almighty let Peter deny Christ three times.
Yes, sir.
But three times only. And then He shut him down.
Yes, sir.
He shut him down. God Almighty forced Abram to go into Egypt twice.
Yeah.
Where Abram lied about his wife twice. I remember telling a guy about that one time. He said, "Well, yeah, he did it one time, but he learned his lesson." I said, "No, he didn't learn his lesson. He did it again."
Exactly.
This guy was supposed to be a preacher.
Yeah.
And he could, and of course, we were at work And I wasn't carrying around a Bible. You know, most preachers are supposed to do that, at least the New Testament. But be that as it may, when I told him that that Abram had done this not only once, but twice, he was dumbfounded. Why? Because he actually thinks that mankind, probably especially himself, he actually thinks we're better people than that.
Yeah.
But that's how bad we are. Apart from the sovereign hand of God, no matter where God takes us, we fall flat on our face.
Exactly.
And there was one time, this actually I believe it was the second time, it was God Almighty that withheld the king of that time in Egypt from doing things with Sarah, Abram's wife, that he shouldn't have been doing. It said God kept him from sinning.
Yes.
Now, if God can do that time, he can do that any time. That's his business.
Yes, sir.
It's his business. You see, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Yes, sir.
Even though I may be totally ignorant of why is this happening to me, God's not.
Exactly.
And the fact is, we often think of it from the perspective, well, what is God teaching me? He may be teaching us nothing more than how bad we really are.
Exactly.
How prone to sin we really are.
Yeah.
And how grateful we ought to be for His free, sovereign grace. As I've went through these things, and I'm on the fourth one now, but let me just mention the other three. This thing of darkness and light. Remember, God can give light to one and darkness to another.
Yes, sir. The
Bible is full of it.
Yeah.
Secondly, God has ordained that one person's light is another person's darkness.
Amen.
That is the very same thing that to one person is light, that very same thing is darkness to another person. And we've seen that the Scripture even declares that the gospel is that. The gospel's good news, but it's not good news to everybody.
Exactly.
Thirdly, God Himself is light.
Amen.
That is, no one will ever see the light of the gospel until God Almighty Himself personally shines light into their heart.
Amen.
And that's where we left off at. And Joe quoted it this morning. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels,
yes,
clay pots, that the excellency may be of God. The excellency is not of us.
Exactly.
You see, it is God that shines in a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It is God that shines in the heart then to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you're not going to know Jesus Christ apart from this word. God's not going to give it to you in some physical dream. Okay? It's going to come from this word. Now, it will be from either David directly reading this word, or from someone else telling you about this word, or maybe hearing on some audio device about this word. But anyone who hears of Christ will hear of Christ from this word.
Yes, sir.
Whatever medium it is,
yep,
through which they hear of Christ, it must be concerning this word.
Yep.
What I'm trying to point out is, if you hear something about Jesus that's not in this word, it ain't from God.
Amen.
It ain't from God.
That's it.
And there are many Jesuses. Even Christ said, there'll be other Jesuses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'll come along. Don't listen to them.
Exactly.
Right? Paul warned, he told the Corinthians, I'm afraid you go follow after one.
Yeah.
Right? He said, I got that fear. There's another Jesus. And let me tell you something. A Jesus that is not the Christ of this word is not the Christ of God. And I must be this morning bold enough to say that the Jesus, the Jesus of most of so-called modern day Christianity today is not the Christ of God.
Amen.
He is not God's Christ.
Exactly.
The Jesus who wants to do anything but can't because is not the Christ of God.
Amen.
Our God has never tried to do anything.
Exactly.
God doesn't try to do anything. He does.
Amen.
He does. God is light. As a matter of fact, Scripture goes so far as to say, God says, I create the light. I create the darkness.
Yes, sir.
And God leaves some men in darkness because He wants to.
Exactly. Absolutely.
We talked about that last Sunday, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
That we ought to even, and it's tough, I understand, I know that. And it's tough, especially when it seems to hit home. Isn't it, Elizabeth? It's tough when it seems to hit home. I thank thee, Lord, Father. Or thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent. It's not just, well, these things happen to be hid from these people, and that's just kind of the way it is. That's not what Christ said, is it? It's not Christ is simply accepting the status quo. Christ is thanking God for His sovereign will, even though that includes God hiding it from some people. I thank you for that, God.
Yes, sir.
When I first started preaching this truth, I didn't feel that way. I thanked God for the election part, the revealing part, but the other part really saddened me. It ought not sadden us. You know that? We ought to thank God for it. Now, do we? Probably most of the time, no. That's how much like Christ we're not.
Exactly.
And when you tell people that's who Jesus Christ is, that He thanked the Father, that the Father hid these things from some folks, they'll say, that ain't Jesus. But that is Jesus. That's the Christ of God.
Amen.
Now, you say, well, it just says He hid these things. Now, come on. Let's not be stupid.
Yeah.
If you hide something from somebody, you're either putting what you're hiding in the dark or you're leaving them in the dark.
Yeah.
Now, if what you're hiding from them is light, then where do they have to be?
Exactly.
They're the ones in the dark.
Yeah.
Right? No, Scripture says, even goes so far as to say, Satan has blinded some men.
Yes,
right? Blinded, who does he blind? Everybody that's lost. So that included me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But what had to happen? As we read, God, the God who created, the God who said, let there be light, and bless God, there was.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about way back yonder. When He said, let there was darkness. I don't know that we can comprehend that darkness because there was no light then other than God Himself. And God said, let there be light. And Mason, I believe that instant, I believe light was. When it was not before. Right? Light was. Now the God who has that kind of power is the God that Paul says He shines in our hearts. Now, if that kind of power shines in your heart, you're going to see.
Yes, sir.
You're going to see. But a God with that kind of power is pleased to leave you in the dark. You're going to stay in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be happy to stay in the dark. And you're going to die in the dark.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But lastly, I said this. Some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. Now, not to get too far ahead of myself, but you'd be turning to Romans chapter 11, because that's where I will begin, and spend a good bit of time there. And I say some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. This is true of all of the elect. Because let me say that apart from the fall of Adam, and even one person, or millions of persons, that really doesn't matter. But apart from Adam falling, and one person or millions of persons being redeemed from that fall, we would not have any idea what free, reigning grace is.
That's true.
The angels don't know nothing about grace. That is the experience of it. Do they? They were created in their original state, and a third of them fail. You know what the book says? One third. Somebody says, you mean that really means a third? I believe if God gave us the numbers, it would come right down to one third. Well, what if it's off just a little? What do I care? That's the whole point. See, people wanting to argue about that rather than the truth. The fact is, the angels, all of them, the 100% of them were created in an original, upright, righteous state.
Yes, sir.
And a third of them fail. Yep. And they fail and they have no hope.
Exactly.
Now, angels are created beings just like you and I are. They're not the same kind of creatures, but they've been created just like we were created by God, right? And they can suffer pain. They can be tormented, according to the scripture, right?
Oh, yeah.
And did God offer a one of those that fail any redemption? None whatsoever. What makes man any better? Matter of fact, scripture says we're not as good as the angels, right? Well, Christ became a man, it said he became a little lower than the angels.
Exactly.
So God saved the worst of the lot when it comes to the creation, not the best.
Exactly.
Right? The angels that fail, he let them fall. As a matter of fact, he chose the ones that wouldn't fall.
Amen. Yeah.
Because they're called the elect angels.
Yes, sir.
You know, years ago, I didn't even know something like that existed. And I'd went to Sunday school almost all my life.
Exactly.
Now, you know why? Because once you start down that road, it leads to the truth of God.
Exactly.
And most people don't even want to start down that road, let alone find the truth of God. No, some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. And I say it that way because we're given a specific example of it in Scripture. Now, again, let me go back and say, this is true of everyone that's ever saved. I don't care who you are. If God ever saves you, where you are right now in your lost condition is for your eventual benefit. Because once God saves you, you will know what it's like to be delivered. You see, my salvation, and salvation means deliverance. Okay? It's real. And I can't explain that to anybody or have it make any meaning or have any meaning to anybody unless they've been there. It's just like I tried to use an example one time, but nobody's going to understand it unless you've been there. At one time when I was in the woods hunting, I got lost. And I mean, I was lost. I had no idea where I was at. And once I finally, David, made it back to the camper, I was delivered. You know, I mean, that was a palpable, tangible thing. I could taste it, David, when I seen that camper. I thought, I wasn't even home. But to me, for that was home. You know, I'm home. There it is. That little old camper. Let me tell you something. When God delivers you, you know what it is. This ain't coming forward and giving your heart to Jesus. This is being saved. This is God delivering you from darkness into light, from death into life, from hatred for God and His people to love for God and His people. It's a total transformation. There was a time when I hated people like us. I'm serious. There was a time when I hated people like us. 30 years ago, if I'd have heard Joe preach what he preached this morning, I'd have said, there's one real weirdo. And yet here I am standing here with him preaching this same message. You know why? Because when God Almighty lays hold of you, He lays hold of you. And it is a deliverance. It's not, oh, well, God saved me now. I guess I got to start living right. If you feel like that, you might as well go ahead and live like hell. Just don't let the law catch you. Because if they do, and I see you do it, I'll be a witness against you. I gotta have a job. you understand what I'm saying? Joe was right, and the person that said it, they're right. If you'd rather be someplace else, you might as well be there. But you know what? Every one of us is here this morning because God Almighty ordained we be right here. And nowhere else. And the people are not here. If God had meant for them to be here, they'd have been here. Even though I don't like that. Well, there's some I wish was here that are not. But everybody's here who's supposed to be here this morning. This morning. Why? Because God Almighty, God is not just in control. He's not just in control. God Almighty rules over everything. He determines everything that will happen.
Amen.
Go back to it. It's an example. Two of them. One, where the brothers of Joseph sold him into slavery. Joseph knew, not just, well, God, you turned it around for my good or for the good of your people. God didn't turn it around for good. God, how did Joseph say it? God meant it for good. You thought you sent me. He said, no, God sent me.
Exactly.
So Joseph went to the source. As you'll see David in Psalms 139 going to the source when it comes to you living on this and breathing on this earth. Now you are here because mom and daddy got together at one time. But we're actually here because God Almighty said, and breathed life into us, just like he did to Adam.
Yes, sir.
He created us. And the scripture often takes us not to the intermediary, not to means, but the scripture often takes us right back to the direct source, God himself. For by grace are you saved through faith. You might as well just go ahead and say, salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Salvation's of the Lord. Amen. So again, some men's present darkness is for their future blessing. Does the scripture actually teach that? Yes, let's get there now. Romans chapter 11. And let me just what verses I got wrote down there, but see, I got 28. But let's just start in verse 30. Look at what Romans 11:30. For as ye, talking to the Gentiles here, for as ye, and I'm going to add in some here to because I'm not going back to the beginning and starting over for the sake of time. For as ye, that is the Gentiles, in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, that is, the Jews' unbelief. So there, the Jews' unbelief benefited who? Even us.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Now I've got Arminians. I hear Arminians teaching that. Yep. Why don't they just keep going on?
Exactly.
Take it the whole way that God Almighty takes it.
Yeah.
Now look, even so have these also, that's the Jews, and in particular, we could say unbelieving Jews, because that's the context, right? Even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. So why are they in unbelief right now? And who put them there? What does that say?
Yeah.
Do you need me to interpret it for you?
Yeah.
It's right there, ain't it?
There.
Why are they there and who put them there? God put them there. Look, for God hath concluded. Now look, you look at the middle, if you have a middle reference.
Yeah.
And it's a decent translation of that word concluded. Shut them all up together.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's a good way of putting it. For God has shut them all up together in unbelief. Why? That he might have mercy upon all. You see, believing wouldn't make a difference if we started out believing, would it?
Exactly.
It'd just be the norm, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If we were born believing, David, what would be the difference? But we're not. Nobody's born believing.
Yeah.
We're all born unbelievers.
Right.
And those who will ever believe are kept in unbelief so that the glory and the power of God will be made manifest when they believe. Because you know how we believe? By the working of His mighty power. Ephesians 1 verse 19.
Amen.
Those Jews, we'll go back and look at it, because I want us to see this as from Scripture. But let me paraphrase it and put it as best I can from my notes off the top of my head. Those Jews who one day in the future will believe, i.e., that is to say, those Jews in the future that God has chosen one day to believe, whoever they are, whatever that time period is, when they're born, they're going to be born unbelievers. And God Almighty is going to keep them shut up, locked up in that unbelief until that time arises when it's time for Him to pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall then look upon Him whom they, that is their collective nation, their nation, whom they have pierced.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to look on Him in belief. He's going to have mercy on them.
Yes, sir.
But where are they at right now? Whenever time. Even in Paul's time. Paul was not told, like, Christ is coming, such and such. Yeah. Right? He was not told that. Paul did not know for sure whether he would be alive when Christ come or dead when Christ come. Although he expected he might well be alive. I know some people don't agree with that, but we're not going into that right now. There's weird stuff out there everywhere. But even the Apostle Paul says, and we which are alive and remain.
Yeah.
Kind of hoping maybe he'd be around when that took place. Now, was he? No. That's the problem with these people who believe that our Lord returned in 70 AD. Paul didn't make it. Did he? Paul didn't make it. Now, just look at how those numbers were. It don't fit. You see, the point is, Paul was inspired, but Paul was not omniscient. Being inspired didn't mean Paul knew everything. But Paul knew this. He says, right now, I've got a few more. Right now, at this present time, there's a bunch of elect Jews just like me. Now, there's some who are not elect, and they haven't obtained it. But the elect have. He said, Paul didn't talk like that. Well, he sure did too. Did he not?
Yeah.
Look at it. Just start at the first part of this chapter. I say then, hath God cast away His people? Why? Because he's just talked about how God says, God had told the Jews, listen, did not, or verse 19 of the preceding chapter, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But to Israel, no, but Isaiah is very bold. He's basically saying, Isaiah went even further. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Somebody says, you better seek Jesus. Well, you ought to. But it doesn't depend on your seeking. You ought to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you ought to be as holy as God is. But you ain't, and neither am I.
Exactly.
It's not the point, is it? I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Now, who's he talking about? The Gentiles.
Yes, sir.
But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient, gainsaying people. And somebody says, see right there, God wanted them to be saved. Where does it say that? He said, I stretched forth my hands. Did he not also tell the same Isaiah who was telling, they're not going to believe you?
Exactly. That's it.
The majority of them is not going to believe you. He said in Isaiah's time, a tenth.
Yeah.
That's less than the angels that made it, wasn't it?
Exactly.
The angels that fell was a third. God told Isaiah, of Isaiah's time, only a tenth will return. Now, this is the thing. God is dealing mainly now with the Gentiles.
Yes,
so Paul asked the question, I say then, if God cast away his people, God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now who is he talking about? Jews.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jews. That's who he's talking. There is no, I'm not here to argue with people about this. I'm not here to debate this. He's talking about Jews. Verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Watch ye not what the scripture says of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Elias was saying, but God, I'm the only one left.
That's right.
Right? Even in his time. Now, did God save every Jew in Isaiah's time? No. Did God save every Jew in Elias' time? No. Has God ever saved every Jew just because they're a Jew? Never has. Why? Well, he's already said why. Because of short work with, or he's already said why? Because of short work will the Lord make upon the earth.
Yes, sir.
Right? Verse 27, chapter 9. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now when you have a number of people like the sand of the sea, but a remnant, that means a very small number compared to the whole.
Amen.
Right?
That's it.
A remnant. Four, that's going to give us a reason. He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Why is that? Well, they're all so bad. Yeah, but everybody's so bad.
Exactly.
The Gentiles are so bad too. Why? Why is the answer? Because of short work will the Lord make upon the earth. That's why, because that's the way God wanted to do it. That's what that says.
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right, back here. Has God cast away the Jews now? Is God done with the Jews? No. Even Elias in his day said, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. I'm the last one standing for you, God. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men.
Amen.
Now that may not look like much compared to the whole number of the children of Israel, but compared to one man, 7,000 is a pretty good group to have behind you, ain't it? I have reserved. We're talking about right there at his time.
Yes, sir.
I've reserved. Where were they at? Doesn't matter. They were there.
Yes, sir.
Right? Well, I wish I knew where they's at. It's not. It ain't our business. If God meant for us to know, we'd know.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they come here? Because God didn't mean for them to come here.
Exactly.
That's why they ain't here today. I've reserved myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
Amen.
Now folks, I believe that the Gentiles were elected by grace just as well as the Jews.
Yes,
but Paul here is not talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the Jews.
Right.
The truth applies to both classes.
Oh, yeah.
But he's talking about one class, that's the Jews, right? Even so now, Paul says, now that was 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
So 2,000 years ago, there was a remnant according to the election of grace. There's still some Jews out there that God's chose.
Amen.
They're not bowing the knee to the image of Baal.
Yeah.
Even in Paul's time. But it is a remnant according to what? The election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Well, God chose them because they didn't bow the knee. No, it's not of works. See, Paul wants to make sure, don't misunderstand me. The ones of Elias' day and the ones today. The reason they are this group of people that's going to see, as we will see, is not because of their works. It's not because those didn't bow. It's not because the ones today believed. They believe, but that's not the reason. The reason is grace.
Amen.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about election.
Yeah.
Because isn't that the context? The election of grace. Now, what is election? I shouldn't need to explain that to anyone here. It means to pick out someone. Right? To have a group of people and to pick out of that group of people one or more out of that people. That's what it means. That's election. It's plain and simple. And if by grace, that is the election, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Like the old preacher said, what was it? I can't remember his name now. But he said, right, he titled this, The Doctrine of Good Sense.
Yeah.
It's one way or the other. It can't be a mixture of both. Yeah, D.J. Ward. Let us now behold the doctrine of good sense. He said, Paul said. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's either grace or works. It cannot be a mixture of both in any way. It's either totally by grace or totally by works. And what is that? Even the election.
That's right.
Yes. Right? What then? Israel hath not obtained what he seeketh for. Now, wait a minute. I thought Israel was the church. How could we say Israel didn't obtain? He even calls this Israel, that they're not elect and they'll be blinded. Wait a minute, did God blind the church? No, when he says Israel here, who does he mean?
Jews.
J-E-W-S. Jews. Hebrews. Israelites. You better have one of the 12's blood in you to be one. If you don't, you're not. That's clear enough, right? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it.
Yes, sir.
What election? The election in Elias' day, the election of Paul's day, right?
Yes,
but the election hath obtained it. Now, that I like that.
Yes,
now, one time I didn't, but I do now. Because I know that election for the Jews, David, it's the same for the Gentiles. It's by grace. So I like that.
Yeah.
But there's another part to this. And the rest of the what? The Jews.
Yeah.
Right? That's the context. And the rest of the Jews were blinded.
Yeah.
According as it is written. So Paul's saying, even in his day, this ain't no new thing.
Yeah.
Paul wasn't preaching new doctrine. You see, we didn't get our doctrine from Paul. Paul got his doctrine from God. Some, they call us Calvinists. They say, well, I'm Paulinian. No, I'm not. I hope I believe in what God Almighty has declared of himself.
Yes, sir.
If I'm really believing it, that's what it's got to be. Look at it. According as it is written. Uh-oh. God hath given them the spirit of slumber. What? The rest that were blinded. God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. And then Paul adds what? Even, and I'll put it in even, but unto this day. It wasn't just true back then.
Yeah.
What was true back then is true today, Paul says. And let me tell you something. What was true in Paul's day for Paul's past is true for us in our day, in our past.
Yes, sir.
It's the same today. It hadn't changed yet. It hadn't changed. Now, who was the one that gave them this gift? It's a negative gift, ain't it? It's a gift that blinds them. Who gave it to them? Now, if I say God gave it to them, am I wrong? That's what that says, right? According as it is written, God hath given that. Why? Because God wants it that way. He's already pointed that out.
Amen.
And then he said, and David saith. Now he's quoted from another prophet. Now he's going to David. Why? Because it's got to be, the truth's got to be established in what? In the mouth of at least two witnesses.
That's right.
So David, or Paul now is giving us our second witness. David. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. David prayed for it.
Yeah.
How far am I even from David, let alone from God? I'm praying that God shows everybody everything, at least the people I care about. Huh? Oh, God, show it to them. Ain't you that way? Oh, God, open their eyes. Why ain't I praying, oh, God, blind them and blind them good? Huh? Aren't they just as depraved as we were? Don't they deserve hell just like we do?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to feel that way, though, ain't it? Huh? David said, let their table be made a snare. And am I telling you to go curse and damn your children? No. But let me tell you something. If God has, they're going to be. That's my children too. But David, that's the way David looked at it. Why? I believe David spoke even outside of himself here now. He didn't speak this from personal experience. Well, I hear David kind of, oh, Absalom, Absalom. So don't feel bad because you feel for your children or your mother or your father or your brothers or your sisters. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not sinful. But don't ever turn it against God.
Exactly.
If your loved one dies in unbelief, acknowledge where they went.
Yeah.
To hell.
Yeah.
Right? If they die rejecting Christ, if they die, David, if my loved ones tell me, I hate that Christ you preach, and they knock off into death, I'd have to say, you know where they went? To hell. But let's move on. Let's get back to this. Who is Paul talking about right now? Talk about the Jews. And even in his time, there's some elect ones, and then there's the others. The rest. That means how many of them? The whole of them, yeah. However many the few were, the remnant were, they ain't a one of them left that wasn't blinded. Right? It didn't say in a good portion of the rest. It says the rest were blinded. And this ain't nothing new, Paul says. It was true back then. Paul says true in my day. And I'm here to say, because I know what this goes on to say, it's still true today.
Yes, sir.
Because the fullness of the Gentiles ain't come in yet. You know why I know that? Well, there's a bunch of us that believe is still here. God ain't done with us yet in this sphere yet. And then it looks, verse 11, I say then, hath they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Is it just God said, well, I just want some of them to fall? Well, let me tell you, if he did, that'd be good enough. But that's not the whole point here. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Now let me tell you, some of those Jews fell and went to hell.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
They fell and they died in unbelief. Christ told them, you don't believe I'm He.
Yeah.
You'll die in your sins. And they didn't. They died. Many of them died not believing in Him and in believing Him, and they died in their sins. And they went to hell. Judas went to hell, didn't he? He was a Jew. He went to hell. He went to his own place. But did they fall just for the sake of falling? No, but through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. That's a jealousy, whether it's a good jealousy or a bad jealousy. Some will become jealous and say, you know what? Maybe that is the Messiah. Huh? And others will say, there ain't no way it could be since these Gentiles are falling. Huh? Now who determines that? God does. That's the election of grace. Because the elect obtain. The rest get what? The rest are what? Blinded. Now, I got just a few moments. Now if the fall of them, who's the them now? These Jews, right?
Yeah.
Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, now was it their riches too? Personal riches? No, they fail.
Yeah.
Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more they're, what is the Jews, these Jews, how much more their what? Fullness.
Amen.
Go back to the main point. Is God done with the Jews? That's the main point, right? The main point is no. Now, these premillennialists running around saying, since the Jews rejected the kingdom, God's done with them for now, that's a lie. Because God is doing for the Jews exactly what God purposed to do for the Jews during this age.
Yes, sir.
No more, no less. And let me tell you, those Jews that have received, obtained, they're in the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And so are we.
Exactly.
We're in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, it says we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, if you're ever going to be in the kingdom and you're living now, you're going to have to get in the kingdom now.
That's right.
Because you ain't going to have no hope if you ain't in it now of getting it to it then.
That's right.
You ain't going to make it to that one to come if you ain't in that one which is to come that exists now.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't care whether that makes sense or not. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Right? The way it is. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, I'm going to put it in our modern day language. Can you imagine the revival it will be when these people, now maybe not these individuals, some of them died and went to hell, but the Jews, there's a time when God's going to turn back to the Jews as the Jews, as a nation, and on a national scale, they will turn to Christ. Can you imagine what a revival that's going to be? Somebody says, well, that don't matter. Bless God, it does if that's what God's purpose to do. It matters all in the world if that's what God purposed to do. Now, would Paul bring? Is Paul just trying to tickle our fancy here? Is he talking about the different Jews and Gentiles? Elect Jews? Reprobate Jews? Is that what he, that's what he's talking about, right? Look at what it says. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation. You know what that means, don't you? That means a jealousy that causes someone to want to do like you do.
Yeah.
I want to be like them. That's emulation.
Yeah.
To emulate. Now it's not just simulate, because simulate is more mechanical. It's not just to go through the action, it's to emulate. And it's talking about, we get a lot of words from it. You know, it's talking about something that churn, like to emulsify.
Yeah.
We have, then you have, and it's this inward work that mixes things up or changes things to where all of a sudden a person says, I want to be like that. Huh? That's what Paul's saying. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Now, does Paul want to save some of the he knew God was going to blind? Or is it the fact that he knows there's a remnant according to the election of grace? That's the whole point, you see. He knows that even today, in my time, not just in Elias' time, but even today there's an elect. There's an elect remnant. For if the casting away of them, that's past tense, that's what God has already done, okay? And what he is in this age is doing. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Again, is Paul just tantalizing our fancy, or is Paul talking about something that's going to happen one day?
Yeah.
He's talking about something that's going to happen one day.
Yes, sir.
Now somebody says, what is that? We'll have to get to that later. I've already mentioned it. But you know what it means? It means that once God has done with us, as He is not, that's Jews and Gentiles, once God has done with us in this age what He's been pleased to do with us, then God will once again turn to the Jews nationally. Now, I've had people say, well, what do you mean by that? Please, quit. You know what I mean by that. That God Almighty, on a national scale, that the Jews as a nation, not every single one of them necessarily, but the Jews as a nation back are going to begin to see and believe and love the Christ of God.
Amen. That's right.
That's the point. Now, are there some things that are going to happen? Are there some Maybe a building's going to be built. Maybe so. I believe it will be. But that's not the point. The point is they're going to look to Christ and love Him and believe Him and trust Him. They're going to believe the same gospel we believe today. Because He said, I'm jumping to the end now. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. Now, same context. You'll have to look to make sure I didn't change something on you, but the they still the they and the we still the we. Right? As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without change. That's the better word. Repentance doesn't really apply to God. We think of repentance from going to bad to better. You know, from worse to good. This is, for the gifts and calling of God are without change. And then he goes into what I've already read to you. They're in unbelief right now, but they won't stay there. Now somebody says, does that really matter? It mattered to Paul. It mattered to Paul because he said, I was as one born out of due time. That's what he said. That's the way I felt about myself. I just didn't deserve this. Huh? And as a matter of fact, Paul went so far as to say this, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You ever thought about that? I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now let me ask you this. Does God save all the ignorant unbelievers? No. No. But there is a danger in knowing the truth and willingly rejecting it.
Yes, sir.
That's the danger. Paul didn't know it. He thought he did. But he did what he did ignorantly in unbelief. And he said, because of that, I obtained mercy. You see, there's a group of people in this world, they won't ever obtain mercy. And in a special way, because they've known the way of truth. And after knowing the way of truth, they've turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Yes, sir.
They've had the demon go out of their house, go out of them. And they've swept up that house. They've emptied that house of all the stuff that shouldn't be there, and they've decorated it up. It's garnished. They have a cleaned up house. And that devil who left, our Lord said he comes back with more devils. Worse than him. And they enter back into the man. That is, the man who's got himself all swept up, cleaned up, garnished. What do you do when you garnish something? You're preparing it for someone to enter in. Someone to come, right? These people were getting ready for Jesus. But guess what? They got reinfested by devils. And our Lord said, the last state is worse than the first.
Yes, sir.
That lets me know they're a goner.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
So.
The last state's worse than the first. I like what Tim James said. Well, I don't know if I like it. I guess I ought to like it. He said, unbelief is demon possession. Most people think, you know, demon possession, these people out here spitting and scratching and, you know, like I said, drawing pentagrams and out there chanting in the woods. No, if a person's an unbeliever, they are possessed of the devil. Paul said concerning even us, that's the way we were. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were under satanic control. But you know what happened? One stronger than Satan came into Satan's house and bound up Satan and kicked his backside out and says, I now reign in this house. And who was that house? It's right here. Right? That's the house that's built on what? A solid rock. A solid rock. Because remember, the other guy built the house. Right? But he built his house on the wrong foundation. And our Lord said he didn't just fall. A lot of people's going to fall and go to hell. And they're going to know. You know, I never professed. I hated God all my life. You know what I mean? But there's going to be many. Oh, they love Jesus. And they love Sunday school. And they love the choir. They loved help taking up the offering. You know? They love doing all this great works for Jesus. And they go die and go to hell. And as our Lord said of that house that's built on the sandy soil, He said, great will be the fall of it. You see, we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God, but we are not fatalists. We know what God Almighty purposed to happen will happen, but that gives no man an excuse no matter what happens.
That's right.
You see, Pharaoh this morning cannot cry out against God, "God, I'm here because you purposed I be here." You know what? That's true.
Yeah.
Pharaoh's there because God purposed he be there.
Yes, sir.
That's not an excuse.
Right.
Is it? You know why? Because Pharaoh said this. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Two things he understood while he was claiming not to know much of anything. One, there is a Lord, and he is to be obeyed. If there's a Lord, David, he's to be obeyed. And you know what? That's in every man's conscience and every woman's conscience, unless it's been seared by a hot iron. And to reject that truth is nothing but the path straight to judgment from God. "Well, if God's going to save me, he's going to save me." Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, and you'll be happy when he does. But here's the thing. If God's pleased to damn you, he's going to damn you.
Yes, sir.
And he may be pleased to confuse you during the whole time. Because I cannot fathom what it would be like to actually expect to get to go to heaven. Sometimes I still wonder whether I'm going to get to go there. You know what I mean? When I see myself, when I see what I'm capable of, when I see what I am and my inner corruption, the foulness and filthiness of my soul in Adam, I say, "How could I ever make it there?"
Yeah.
Well, there are people, they're assured they're going.
Yeah.
They're absolutely sure they're going. One day, many of them are going to hear, "You're a worker of iniquity. Get out of my sight. I didn't know you." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the horror? I don't want to be one of those people. See, David, it doesn't matter how much I brag on how much I know or what I believe about God. I don't want to be one of those people. Because there's, like I said, there's some people, their second state's worse than their first. And the first state will take you to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? The first state don't get you to heaven. That's what our Lord said. I thought about that when I read that. It said that that man, the second state's worse than the first. The first one was taking him to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that. But to die, David, under the judgment of God, that frightens me. But the very fact that it frightens me also gives me a glimmer of hope.
Yes, sir.
Because it forces me to trust Christ.
Exactly.
It forces me to say, if Christ didn't die for me, I'll go to hell.
Exactly.
But if Christ did die for me, he's got me in his hand.
Yes, sir.
He and his Father are one. And no one can pluck me out of his hand if I'm in his hand. If I'm there,
yeah.
Mac, nobody can pluck me out. Nobody. Father, I pray as we partake of the table of your Son, the communion, as we remember him and his death, burial, and resurrection, his blood that was shed, and his body that was broken for us. We pray, Lord, that we truly remember him, for he is truly all that's worth remembering. I ask in his name. Amen. All right, David and Roy Jr.